So, good afternoon, everyone. This research is a joint effort between INSA-REN in France and University of Oulu in Finland. So, as we all know, we can describe computer programs at different levels of abstraction by using different programming languages. At the lower level of abstraction, we can use, for example, assembly. And then on the other extremes, we have such languages as some functional languages. And then in there between, some commonly used languages like C. Now, these different languages have different properties. If we program in assembly, generally we think that we get more efficient implementations. On the other hand, if we go to the other extreme, we get nice features like code reusability. We can analyze the designs. We can verify that our programs are correct. And also our productivity in programming probably goes up. In this talk, we're concentrating on a language called RVC-CAL, which is pretty high level. It's definitely above C. And this RVC-CAL is a data flow language, which is actually a subset of the CAL language that has originally been developed at the UC Berkeley. RVC-CAL was recently standardized by the ISO standardization organization, and I will now show you a simple example how the programs look like in RVC-CAL. So, this here is a program that we can imagine. It consists of three actors, A, B, and C. And as we know in data flow, actors are the elements that do the actual data processing. Now, the data between these actors is transmitted over these FIFO buffers here. There are no other connections. These connections are all the ones that exist between actors and enable the communication. If we go inside an actor, we see that these are actually finite state machines. So we have different states, like this skip age here, and then we have state transitions that we call actions. And it's these actions that actually do the data processing. So they consume data and they produce data. The main difference of RVC-CAL compared to traditional data flow languages like SDF that was in the previous presentation is that RVC-CAL allows conditional execution. So we can have data dependencies in the algorithm. On the one side, this is quite good because it makes the language applicable to a wider set of applications. We can have data-dependent applications. But there's also the downside that the language is harder to analyze, both for programmers and for compilers. Now, the topic of this work is that we want to improve the efficiency of the programs that we have described with this RVC-CAL language. As you remember from this picture, RVC-CAL is here on the pretty high level of abstraction, and what we want to do is to push the efficiency of this language closer to those programs that have been manually written, for example, in C. Now, we want to do this... So, in RVC-CAL, each data flow actor runs really independently. Basically, this is a good thing because it means that we can reuse these actors in other programs also. But in practice, when we look at the complete application that's written in RVC-CAL, we actually find out that these actors are really depending on each other. And the reason for this is that an actor needs data to be able to operate, and if there's no data, an actor cannot execute. On the other hand, if a FIFO buffer is full, an actor can't operate either because there's no space for the output data. So we try to automatically discover these interdependencies between actors, and with this information optimize the whole program and make it run faster. The approach that we chose here is dynamic program analysis, which means that we actually observe a running program. And based on the information we get from there, we can generate a new program, which hopefully is more efficient than the original one. So now we can go into the details of our method. I told you about this feature of RVC-Cal, that it enables data dependencies. And the first step in our method is to find these data dependencies in the RVC-Cal program. And we will call these signals that cause the data dependencies control signals. And we have made a detection rule for finding these signals automatically. And the rule is like this. If the value of data incoming from a FIFO affects the behavior of an actor, F is a control signal. Because this is a bit hard to grasp so quickly, I will show you an example. So this here is an RVC-Cal program. We go through each and every actor in this program, and we inspect each and every input port of every actor. At some point, we arrive at this add actor here and the middle input port, and we notice that the data that comes through this port actually affects the behavior of this add actor. So we know that this signal here, called B type, is a control signal. So now that we have discovered these control signals, we can go on. So as we know the control signals, we want to express the behavior of the whole RVC-Cal network as a function of the data values that go through these control signals. And to be able to do that, we have to insert special actors into this RVC-Cal network. We call them token gates. So here's an example. Suppose we have two actors, A and B, and we have detected that the signal equals FIFO between them is a control signal. We split this signal and insert a token gate actor there. So now there has been this buzzword strand that has appeared here. A strand we define as a sequence of actor executions or actor invocations. And we define it so that each value of the control signal that passes through this token gate will invoke one strand that this actor invocation sequence at runtime. And we can automatically detect these strands with the help of this token gate actors. We do it so. We let one token at a time through this token gate and observe the value of that token. And then we record the set of actors that this token invokes. However, unfortunately, this is not enough because there's more flexibility in the CAL model. Generally, these actors can behave in many different ways for one control signal value. So we also need to find out all the different actor behaviors that can take place for one token gate value. So we observed that the behavior of an RVC-Cal actor can be fully predicted before it actually executes when we know the following properties of an actor. We have to know the values of the actor's state variables. Second, we have to know how many tokens there are at the input ports of that actor. And we also need to know what the values of those tokens are. And this set of features here we call the signature of the actor. And as we analyze the operation of the RVC-CAL network, we record this signature of the actor before we let it execute. And then for every signature, we see what happens. We record the set of state transitions that happen in the actors. Finally, this is what we get. So here we have one gate token or one control signal value. It can have different values like this M here or N here. And each of these values invokes one strand. This here is one strand, this here is a second one, and this is a third one. And these strands consist of actor invocations. Like the first strand here consists of six actor invocations. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then in some actors we have optional different behavior patterns, like this can behave in two different ways, and this one can behave in five different ways. And we differentiate between these alternative patterns based on the signature. Now that we have all this information, we can go to the final phase of code generation, where we create the new program that hopefully is more efficient than the original one. So we have modeled the functionality of the application with these gate token values and actor signatures. So now we generate C code. Of course, we could also generate other kind of code like Pascal or assembly or whatever, but we have chosen C. And practically, we insert a set of switch statements to these places where we have these different gate token values or actor signatures. We don't have time to go through any example code, but we have to go directly to the results. So we tested this method with a few versions of an MPEG-4 Part 2 video decoder. These were different implementations of these video decoders, and we got different speed ups for different implementations. So some decoders became more than 2 times faster, whereas other ones gained only about 15% of speed up. So as a conclusion, we have presented a fully automated approach to speed up programs written in RVC-CAL. And the average speed up was about 1.5 times. For future work, based on what we have learned from this work, we hope that we can create a static analysis method, which means that we don't examine a running program, but we examine the source code of the program and hope to optimize the application through that. And another direction of future work is improving the code generation, which should also improve the speed ups we get. And finally, we can make the method applicable to a wider set of applications by, let's say, rewriting the method such that we can have more than one token gate in an application. The present method we have, it only allows one token gate per application, which is a bit restricting. So thanks for your attention.
Thank you. Are there questions from the audience?
So you said it's a dynamic approach, right? So you are basically running with some test samples. And I mean, how many test samples did you run? Or when you run different test sequences, does it lead to different optimizations? Or I mean, how you deal with the fact that basically you need to have certain coverage and you have to run a lot of examples to basically optimize to certain code that you can run for another test set, right? So this kind of things.
Yes, you're completely correct. So this dynamic code analysis means that the performance of this optimization is dependent on the input data. We can also call it the training data. We used one low-resolution video sequence as the training data, and then we tested the functionality and got these numbers by a four high-resolution sequences that were much longer. But of course, I mean, there can always be situations that your training data does not contain all the different options that are there, and in that case, the decoding might actually fail. We have some, let's say, safety mechanisms against that, but that's why this static analysis would be much better.
Just one question. So you don't attempt to create a complete model necessarily. You use your training data that you have available. Do you have some sense, or is there some way to get some sense for when the model, based on the training data you have, is complete enough to attempt to generate new code?
No, at the moment there is no such mechanism. I think if we would implement that, we would already go towards the static code analysis, which we intend to do in any case. So I guess that's a clear direction of future work, yes.
Okay, we thank the author.